I will be teaching. I got to work it out with Earl, but I want to teach maybe one Sunday night a month here, just on the good old fundamentals. But I hope to do it in a way that will engage Scripture and engage your heart and mind. And who knows, maybe share some things that you'll walk away going, gosh, I didn't know that was included. I didn't know that's how the Spirit of God does things. And so I'm just going to do my best to do that. And I've shared with you last time because I'm just concerned that, let's see, how can I word this? I'm concerned that there's such a heavy emphasis on the love of God that we're throwing out the truth of God. And the two goes together. I mean, you know, they really do. They go together. So holiness is still an aspect of the Christian life. You know, it's one of those type of things. And so I'm going to be teaching on that. I actually hope to put together some books. I've already got a title called The Gospel Primer. And maybe that'll be done this year. And speaking of books, all your stories are going to the editor. And appreciate you. We're going to have it edited for, you know, subject verb agreement and all that kind of good stuff. And so hopefully I can come back next month sometime and tell you that it's gone to the printers. So get prepared to be blessed, because that book's going to go around the world. Amen. All right. Good deal. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I want to continue on that concept today of forgiving and what forgiveness is and walking in the power of forgiveness. Personally, I'm dealing with some individuals that haven't come to church yet, but they will because it's just the way I'm planning it. But I'm meeting with them, and, you know, life is cruel. How many of you can say yay, amen to that? It's just cruel, man, and things happen, and unfortunately sometimes it happens to you through other people, and but you know, the Scripture says that it's woe be to the person that causes an individual to stumble. So it's better to put a millstone around your neck and I guess throw yourself in the water and drown. That's pretty heavy duty when you think about it. In the Scriptures, I'm just going to reread what we've already covered. But it says, "Give us this day," in Matthew chapter 6. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then it goes on to talk about be sure that you are laying up treasures up in heaven. This is such a powerful passage of Scripture because it's a part of our everyday life. You have to forgive people. You have to walk in forgiveness. Now, we've already covered what forgiveness is not. You know, it doesn't mean that you put yourself back in the same situation where you're continually being hurt over it and over again. You know, when I would do counseling, particularly when I was up in Valdosta, because that's all I did, I ran into very heart-wrenching situations. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I had a husband come in, or wife was coming in for counseling, and he was hitting on her. And so, you know, my first advice was get out. You know, or get a dog or something. You know, so you know, she took my advice. The crazy thing about counseling, you'll counsel for, you know, hundreds of hours worth a week, and you're lucky if somebody takes 5 minutes worth of your advice. You know, it's one of those type of situations. But she took the advice and she got out. I mean, she was ready for some change, and she was ready to get her husband too. Well, he comes storming into my office, you know, the day after she left. So, "What did you tell my wife?" I said to her, "I told her to get out from getting beat. Quit hitting your wife, you dang coward." That didn't go over too well. But I, you know, and of course he sat down, and, you know, we had to deal with him a little bit, and he got bodacious and stuff. So I, pretty bad when you have to call the sheriff. The sheriff has an anointing that kind of settles things down. But uh, such a powerful way to live, free from bitterness. It'll eat your lunch. If we can get this one principle down and walk in forgiveness and love with truth, your counseling load as far as being able to share the goodness of God with people would just increase. I did have the opportunity to share with one couple, and his life changed so much through the power of forgiveness that his estranged wife wanted to know what was going on. You know, when someone close to you sees the change, you can argue, you can reason, you can bat it back and forth, but it's there. And it's a better way to live. It really is. It's a better way to live. And I'd like to say to you that when you forgive and in the natural, it looks like you lose. In the long run, you win. I'm telling you, you really win. And you walk free, first of all, and the blessings of God will overtake you as you walk in the power of love and in forgiveness. I've seen that not only just in my life and in my family's life, but also in the lives of so many others. So I was just going to take up where I left off, if I can find out. I think the last thing I said is that forgiveness refused to tell what they did. One of the things about, you know, Facebook that really bothers me is these people get on there and they just go crazy telling all kind of stuff, and it's, you know, I never reply to it. I don't want to get drawn into that. But it's just kind of like, you know, how does this help the situation? You know what I mean? I understand the need through a trusted friend where you can sit down and unload. Given the fact that that trusted friend is mature enough to let you unload and pray for you and then walk away from it and not go blabbing. Now, husband and wife team, let me tell you something. It is easy to pick up the offense of your spouse and to do something with it. I think part of that has to do as a man that you're just a man. And as a wife, you want the best for your husband, particularly if it's an unjust act. But that's where the power of agreement, where two come together and you pray and you press in and you forgive, and you walk in the power of forgiveness, and you know, Nancy, I tell you, she's such a blessing to me because I've seen her make choices through her life. We were sitting at a dinner table, several weeks back, and I was just thinking about stuff that was going on, and I knew what she was doing and how she was handling it. And I just looked at her, honey, you can close your ears. But I said, you are the most gracious woman I think I've ever met in my life. And I'm not that gracious. I mean, you know, I'm doing better at it, but if you cross me, I'm going to smile and try to walk away. You keep crossing me, the spirit of slap tries to come on me. And I try to do better with all that. But I looked at her and I said, you know, I think probably 75% of the reason the favor of God's on our family is because of you, not me. You know, I'm just an old fuddy-duddy stick in the mud sometimes, you know. But it's just so true. I've seen her wronged. She was working at a particular place, and it was just wrong what they did. They got a new business manager, and she just, you know, to put it politely, I used to say, she needs a hug. Because she was just ugly and rude and insecure and did I say ugly and rude? Okay. And see, that's that part where it's kind of like, I need to go down there and let this lady, and I need to pray for her with laying on of hands. I mean, I was taking that offense. She was so sweet and gracious and saying, I know I can learn from this. And I'm saying, you need to learn to hit people. You know, it was just, I mean, it was that bad. And sure enough, you know, it was three strikes, you write up. I mean, she was trying to write her up every other day, you know, kind of stuff. And she got three write-ups for stuff that she, the crazy part is she said, I want you to do it this way. Then she would do it that way, and then she'd get in trouble for doing it that way. And it was kind of like, you told me to do it that way. You know, it was crazy. It really was. It was an injustice. And so she got fired. They fired her. And I did good. I didn't even drive down there and call fire down on it. I mean, but it was wrong. Well, out of that, she went back to school. She got a great job. And she's continuing to get blessed and blessed and blessed. Because see, now what I want to do is in the spirit. I want to go back there and find this girl and say, how much are you making? My wife's making twice that much. You know why? Because you are the devil. That's why. But I hadn't done that. And that's improvement for me. I'm telling you, that's a real improvement for me. But I'm telling you, even when it looked like we lost, and we did, we lost income, and it was like, God help us. And you remember that year I prophesied double, and we both lost our jobs that year? I'm very careful talking about the double anointing now. I'm really very careful about it. But it's like out of that, God just blessed and blessed and provided the way for her to go back to school and blessed. And she got a job and got a part-time job and got another job. And now we got jobs at the wazoo. You know, and it's like even though we lost, we won. If you keep your heart right. And she evidently, as far as I know, she didn't have a problem with that. I was the one trying to go, are you sure you don't want me to go slap her? Or at least slap her husband. Let me go over there and just, you know, tell them. Then I thought, God, forgive me. You know, if you think something, you did it, right? I had to repent of it. I had visions of going slashing every one of her tires. Not once, but five different times. You know, it's kind of like, oh, huh, another $1,000. God bless you. What do you got? Yeah, keep slashing the tires to the equivalent of the salary that she lost. Now, that's really bad, isn't it? That's terrible. It is. Thank you. So, you know as well as I know, forgiveness is easily spoken about, but sometimes it is so hard to do. And why did Jesus put that thing in there if you're thinking in your heart you done it? You know, I'd be okay if he didn't put that in there. But he did. He said, if you think it in your heart, you've already committed it. I'm reading John Wesley. Yeah, let me tell you something. You want to stir your passions up, read Wesley. It's kind of, I read the book and I just put it down and say, one sentence, that's it. I need to pray into this one, you know. That man was loved God. He was stirred up that passion. He was just intense on the things of the kingdom of God and walking in what he knew to be the reality. I heard a guy one time say, you know, I don't want to learn any more truth because I'm having a hard time walking in the truth that I have. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of like, okay, what does that say about you? What does that say, you know, about me? And so it's a thing that's easily, it's like Lewis. Everyone thinks it's a great idea until you have to do it. Until you have to walk in that thing. And so as I'm standing here, I guess my point was is that I really wanted to get on Facebook, name the practice of the doctors, name the person, and tell everybody not to go there. Because I wanted to break their medical practice just to show them they messed with the wrong person. That's terrible, isn't it? It really is terrible. Let's have an altar call for me. But I worked through it. I forgave. Not once. I lost count how many times I forgave. And then I had to say, Lord, please forgive me. If you just didn't put that, you know, think it in your head thing, I'd be doing a lot better. But I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I trust you. I trust you. I mean, you know, when someone does something and it messes with your paycheck, that's real life. And when they do something that you didn't deserve that, you didn't have a bad attitude, you didn't treat a customer wrong, as a matter of fact, you got glowing reports on your annual job review, and then they come in and do that. That's when the rubber meets the road. So you don't put it on Facebook. It's being merciful, point number five. It's being merciful. Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Anybody want mercy? Then be merciful. God is merciful and He's just. If you want to do a study that will help you in forgiveness, is not just study the scriptures on forgiveness, but study the scriptures on God is just. I run into the millennials these days, and one of their big thing about Christianity is that stuff happens and it's not fair. God's not fair. Of course, I blow them out of the water when I say, of course He's not fair. But He is just. Do a study on the justice of God. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? It comes together. The justice of God and the mercy of God comes together in the cross of Christ. Because God punished Jesus for your sins and for my sins, He can now be true to Himself and still be truly merciful. Jesus, the just and the justifier, He can be true to Himself in showing mercy to you and to I. God is never surprised by what other human beings do or don't do. Never. He doesn't, you know, slap Himself in the forehead and say, oh me, or whatever. It doesn't surprise Him. All right? Listen to what Jesus said. Be merciful, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I mean, all of us have the Peter anointing. You know, it's kind of like draw the sword. I was reading that this past week, and I was studying on it just in lieu of what I was teaching. And Jesus beforehand, you know, sent him out without any money or purse and that kind of stuff. He did it for the 12, and he also did it for the 72. And they came back with great results. And then toward the end of Luke, he reverses that and say, listen, not take money, take a purse, even take a sword, you know. And Peter, hey, we've got two, you know. And of course he didn't get it, you know. It's one of those things where he didn't get it. And the whole point is to be prepared. To be prepared for how life interacts with you. And Jesus said, it's enough. And I wrote in my margin, the Terry Shiver translation of, good grief, you guys don't get it yet. You know, but He wants us to be prepared. And one of the reasons why I'm not going to do this every Sunday, but I want to teach on some of the elementary stuff. And actually, it's not, this is heavy stuff. It's elementary, simple, but it is heavy, because if you walk in this, then God's going to elevate some things in your life, in and through your life. And so it's being merciful. It's all about being merciful. Because your Father, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. The benefit of showing mercy is that you will be shown mercy. Let me say it again. The benefit of showing mercy is that you will be shown mercy. You want mercy. Everybody wants mercy. But when it comes to being hurt, then we don't want mercy. We want whatever else is out there. We want, sometimes we hide our anger and hurt with the idea of, I want justice. And we still have bitterness in our heart. It is still okay to want justice, because God's a God of justice. but not want that at the same time when you got hatred and bitterness in your heart. Now, look at your neighbor and say, it's a process. It's a process. It's kind of like, I wish I had a Bible wand. Boom! Okay, you're set free now forever. You'll never have that problem, you know, again. But it's a process where you grow and you mature and you realize, you know, this is the kind of crazy part about it, is that if I walk this way, it's better for me. If I forgive, it's better for me to walk in forgiveness.
And as a new believer, you may not even recognize that profound what you just said, but if you're doing it, you get there.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And they need to be taught this. One of the things that I hear testimonies when I go to Valdosta, and we've got, I mean, I got one guy that's discipling 20 and another guy that's discipling 5, and all of these are addicts of some type, you know, where they're being discipled. And you're talking about crazy stuff. Now, granted, some of it, if indeed not most of it, is because of their own, you know, crazy, dare say, stupid choices, you know, that they made. And now they're having to work through some of that stuff, but they're beginning to see. It's such a strange concept to the world when you look at someone and say, and they tell you what's going on, and they look at you and they pause and they're waiting for that really great wisdom where you're going to agree with them and things are going to be wonderful, and you look at them and say, well, actually, you have to forgive, or you need to forgive. And it's kind of like, that's it? That's all you're going to tell me is forgive the person? Can you refer me to somebody else? I'll happily refer you to somebody else. They cost $150 an hour and I'm free, you know. Being merciful is what it's about. The second thing, or the whatever it is, the sixth thing, is it's about graciousness. Graciousness. I love this word because it literally means to forbear. Or, and they would love this today, it actually means, this is the term that fits within the political correctness of the day. It actually means to be tolerant. To be gracious. You know what that means? It means that when someone messes up, that you love them and have mercy on them, while modeling for them how to walk free of that particular bad situation. You know, when somebody, the reason why in AA, why they have, what do they call those people? Sponsor. They sponsor. And the reason why they have a sponsor is to encourage them along their way. But another reason why they're there is because when they relapse, they need someone who will come along and say, listen, get up. Get up. You know, repent with it, deal with it. That's their way, that's their term, but that's repentance. Get up and go after this thing called sobriety. Your family is worth it. Your children is worth it. And probably most important, you're worth it. Your life is worth being sober and having value, because it does have value, because God values you. So it's being gracious. It's the opposite of being unduly rigid. You know, when your child, when they were growing up, when they blew it, you know, you were gracious. Even if it meant that you had to discipline them, you were still gracious, you know, with them. What did I mean by that? Well, yeah, I was watching a show. I was watching a show about some kid doing something, and that mama said, I was in labor 44 hours. I'm not going to put up with this type of behavior bringing you into the world. It's kind of like, don't mess with them mamas, I'm telling you. You know, I brought you in, I'll take you out. Okay, moving right along. The idea is that don't make a rigorous stand against your enemy, even when you are clearly in the right. Be gracious. The only person that really needs to validate the fact that you are in the right is God. And when he does it in such a way that everybody notices it. It takes time. Philippians 4, 5 says, let your gentleness be made known to all. And the psalm says that. David said that. That's one of my favorite psalms. It was his gentleness that makes me great. You know, it's a, and I want to even use the word rare because it, and I'm thinking about my life, but it's a rare act of grace when you can be gracious to other people. When you forgive and release and you still maintain the friendship. Jesus was gracious in John chapter 8, the lady called in adultery. He was very great. He was the only one that could have truly condemned her. But he said what? Hey, listen, I don't condemn you either. And then he said, you know, go and sin no more. In other words, clean your act up and you won't find yourself in this crazy situation with this cultural mandate that they have. Honor God. Being gracious helps. If you're truly gracious and you're involved in that person's life, you will help them understand the way to get free. And that's where the truth comes in. Like looking at that guy that I was counseling a couple of weeks ago, it's kind of like, oh, well, you just need to forgive. Are you crazy? I'm not forgiving. Well, you do. Or else what? And so, you know, you flip the scriptures open. Root of bitterness, blah, blah, blah. It's going to eat your lunch. You won't be happy. On and on it goes, you know. He's yet to come back, but I have a sneaky suspicion he will. Needless to say, presidential campaigns are not run with graciousness. Graciousness is shown by what you don't say. Even if you could, and still be true or truthful. Number 7, it's an inner condition. Forgiveness must take place in your heart or it's worthless. Let me say it again. Forgiveness must take place in your heart or it's worthless. Forgive from your heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, what? The mouth, what? Speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. This is why reconciliation is not necessary or essential for forgiveness. You can forgive from your heart and not be reconciled with that individual. As I've said before, why? It takes two to reconcile. And while you can offer it, if they don't want it, then you're free. Walk away from it with your heart clean. You never know what will come out of that, by the way. I'll forgive if they repent. You ever done that? Or am I the only one? I'll forgive them when they repent. I'll forgive them when they've hurt as much as I've hurt. Jesus took all of that. He took all of it. Jesus said what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How about this? What if that becomes our mantra? Huh? A little New Age lingo there. Huh? When somebody hurts you, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. And don't say, Father, forgive them, because they're stupid, and you know they're stupid. Because I'm not sure your heart motivation is right. That's the other thing about the mind, you know, the thinking part. If he just didn't weigh in the heart motivation, we'd be a whole lot better, you know. But he takes in what you're thinking. He takes in the motive of your heart, which means you can be right on the outside and still wrong on the inside. It's called holiness for a reason. Wholeness, body, soul, mind, and strength. So help us, Jesus. Amen. How about this one? Most individuals we need to forgive don't even feel like they need forgiveness. You ever been there before? Huh? I know. I've had people come up to me. I've had a lady. Sometimes being in the ministry, no matter what you do, you can't win. It's just, I've accepted that, and I just go, I am so sorry. I had a lady come up to me, and she walked up, and, you know, it wasn't, oh, I haven't seen you. How are you doing? How are your children? She just immediately went into this counseling appointment I had with her. And the bad thing is I'm sitting there looking at her going, what is her name? You know, I'm trying to think of her. I'm terrible with names. And she went on, we were probably 5 minutes into the conversation. This is where I went wrong, right? But I was honest. I said, I am so sorry. I don't remember what you're talking about. And then, of course, she said, you don't remember those weeks and months that we counseled? Blah, 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 blah. I said, no, I am so sorry. Why not? And then I made the mistake of saying, most of the stuff I heard you wouldn't want to remember. And it went downhill from, and then she just lit into me about this, that, and the other. And of course, I had learned, you know, at this point where I just looked at her, I said, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Well, you need forgiveness. Okay. Thank God I had the wisdom not to ask her what her name was. After it was over with, I think I went over to Nancy and said, you see that woman over there? What's her name? Legion. My wife would never say that. I had a stack of file folders. I took notes for the insurance company required us to take notes in case somebody tried to sue us. The advantage was we didn't charge, so it was kind of hard to sue us. But it was must have stood that high. When I first moved to Lake City, I had a fire. I took all those notes out and just burned them. It was so, oh, yeah. Let this be a fragrant aroma. I hope they're doing good. Hallelujah. You got to forgive from your heart. It's an inner condition. Forgiving brings, and the reason why, listen, one of the things that I have learned, if I truly forgive, is that I have confidence in my heart. And this based upon John, 1 John. Listen to what 1 John says. 1 John 3:22. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And so, what do you do? Some of you may think, well, what if somebody comes up to you and tells you all this stuff and there was no malice or forethought, there was none of that in you? That's when I teach the difference between apologizing and asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness is indicative of you did it and you did it wrong and you knew you did it wrong. There was something in you to say, I'm going to say this just to stick it in them. You know, it's one of those times. But apologizing is acknowledging their point of view and saying, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Or that, of course, you can get, if they're really mad and you say, that wasn't in my heart, then they'll begin to tell you what was in your heart. And then you have to reserve because you want to say, how do you know what's in my heart? And if you go there, it goes downhill quick. You want to ask me how I know that? Been down that road before. It's kind of like, this is getting worse, man. Somebody's got a backhoe and I'm digging me a big hole here. But there really is because they're, see, I want to be right. I know you're not like that. I want to be right. It's kind of like, best God, I can stick with you on this one. I'm not going to lose this argument. Because I didn't do this wrong. I may be wrong now trying to be right, but I wasn't wrong when I was right. Does that make sense? So, you know, it's just, Listen, there's something in Scripture. That's that graciousness when you can give deference. Wow, I am so sorry about that. It validates their point of view. And it lets them know that you love them. That you value their friendship. And if you value someone's friendship, then listen, just because you do that, it doesn't mean that you agree with the point of view. It just means you're validating what's going on in their heart and in their mind. And that you value the relationship. And if I need to tell you I'm sorry, good, I will. I can do that. I'm sorry. This was a revelation to me because in my mind I'm saying, God, if I tell them, you know, I wasn't there. You know my heart. I wasn't malice aforethought. It wasn't there. It was a simple off-the-cuff comment. How many of you know that sometimes with close friends you can make an off-the-cuff comment and they'll laugh and go on? And if you think they're close friends and they're not going to laugh and go on. And so you have to acknowledge the fact that I'd rather have you as a friend than be right. This is really going over well, isn't it? I mean, this is just great teaching. When I know that I have His love and approval, I'm the one very happy and content believer. And I have confidence before God. And you need confidence before God when you pray. Because if you doubt when you pray, you're not going to get anything. Confidence is a key to you having answered prayer. And this is just an aside, but if you're not having answered prayer, you might want to back up and ask yourself why. It could be that there's stuff rumbling around in your heart and your mind that you haven't dealt with yet. And God loves you so much that He's more interested in your heart and character being formed than giving you the moderatory or the Harley-Davidson big motorcycle or whatever it is that, you know, on your heart. Real quickly, the next one. It's the absence of bitterness. I've already hit on this. It's an inward condition. You can see this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, but it has the list of what it means to grieve the Spirit of God. It grieves the Spirit of God. You walk in bitterness, you have bitterness in your heart, it grieves the Spirit of God. You don't want that. I don't want that. Are you beginning to see how it's healthy for your life and your relationship to God to walk in forgiveness? So, that's a major reason why we miss the grace of God. Let me give you some evidences of bitterness in my own life. Losing your temper. We will now have an altar call. Irritability. Sleeplessness. Obsession with getting even. Depression or even isolation. It even can affect you physically, and your blood pressure can get out of whack because there's bitterness there. A negative, and then last of all, I just wrote a negative perspective. A hee-haw anointed. Gloom and despair and agony on me. Whoa, deep, dark depression. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any. Relinquishing bitterness is an open invitation for the Holy Spirit to give you His peace, His joy, and the knowledge of His will. Amen? Then the last one is this, which I've saved it, maybe the best one for the last. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. When you do something sinful, stupid, whatever you want to put in there, and you know you messed up, forgive yourself. It's the key to walking in forgiveness and wholeness. If you do everything afterwards, you go and repent to the person, offer reconciliation, and they don't respond, forgive yourself, and release. And mark it up for a good lesson learned. It doesn't mean that in time they won't reconcile back with you and become your friends again. But forgive yourself. One of the greatest areas that people need to walk in is, you know, if you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. It's not a possibility. If whatever you feel about yourself is what you're going to put on other people. Okay, that's it. Somebody say, thank God. The next time, which I assume will be either the 15th or the Sunday that I get back, on the 22nd, I guess, I'm going to go to the life of Joseph, and we're going to look at the power of forgiveness in Joseph's life. In my opinion, if there's anybody that should have had the spirit of slap on them, it should have been Joseph, you know, falsely accused of raping somebody. I mean, that's serious stuff there, jail time. That's way beyond theoretical to real life. And you know, in today's time, through the miracle of what they call DNA evidence, there are a few, not many, but there's a few that's been in jail for 15, 20 years. That are getting out. Because the DNA evidence now says there's no way possible they could have done it. I guess the only upswing to that is that when they get out, they turn. And for every year they were in prison, they sued the state of Florida for $1 million. So 20 years, 20 million, I don't know. You know, you can't do that. I would try. Is it 250,000? Oh, okay. I think it should be more. But anyhow, and then you, have you, I mean, some of them are bitter, and then others, when they come out of that place, they're just so full of grace and thankful that they now have their life by it, and they've been made whole again. You know, obviously, that no, I didn't rape and murder that person. You know, and thank God I've been cleared. You know, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. The blood of Jesus is a whole lot better than DNA evidence. It clears us and cleanses us. All right, stand with me. Hallelujah. Now, I just feel like that teaching on this, that you either need it right now in your life or probably Wednesday of this week you're going to need it. That's just how I think sometimes, all right? And it is a lifestyle that we endeavor to walk in. I love the word endeavor because you need grace to forgive people. You need grace to forgive yourself, particularly as it relates to your attitude of heart and what you think within your own mind. It is a real victory if you think bad stuff but don't say it. For me, that was a real victory. It shows growth. And the next step, obviously, is the Lord not only continuing to bless your word, but changing your heart. When you say, I love you, you really mean it. Instead of knowing this is a Christian thing I'm supposed to say. It becomes a way of life. It's kind of like sharing your faith. It just becomes a way of life. All of this is essentially the same stuff. So let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray for grace for each one of us. The grace of God, it's the empowering of God to do the will of God. Lord, everyone here is beyond salvation. We're all born again. We all love you. We're all in process. We're in this thing called the kingdom of God, and we're endeavoring to walk with you in wholeness, and in purity, in holiness, and with love. But we also have other people that we interact with. Lord, we dealt with last week forgiving those that have hurt us. And so this week I pray for grace to be upon us to live in such a way that we don't cause offense to others. That we reflect the kingdom of God. reflect the love of God, the mercy of God, being gracious and merciful, Lord. These characteristics of intentionality, of reflecting who you are to a lost and dying world. Father, we pray for wisdom for those situations that perhaps are still undealt with. We ask that you give us biblical insights of how to deal with it. And we ask for grace, if need be, to release the situation after done everything that's possible within us to be at peace with all people. And so I just thank you for that. I bless these, your people. And I thank you for a great week. And keep us all warm this afternoon in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming today. Hug somebody before you leave.